Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Been an interesting year for me. I'm at 52%. I don't believe in, you know, getting bad breaks and bad beats, although Seattle was one for me last week. That's life. Let's go to my blazing five picks this week.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Ravens and Browns.
You know, we talk a lot about Baltimore's offense. I'm going to take the Ravens minus 9, 10, whatever the line is. It's now 9. I'm going to take Baltimore. But their defense has been absolutely sensational since Marcus Peters arrived. They're getting a pass rush during their 10-game winning streak. They're first, second, or third in virtually everything, including quarterback hits per game. They hit the quarterback 7 times, and Baker Mayfield has looked very gun-shy in the last 6 weeks. He's tired of getting hit. Cleveland is a team that allows you to run the football. 135 yards per game is what teams average on the ground. Remember, the first time they played, Baltimore didn't have Marcus Peters, still trying to define their offense. In Cleveland, oh my Lord, Nick Chubb was unbelievable. The moral of the story, September is not December. I like Baltimore to win going away 33-20. I think it could potentially be worse than that.
Bengals at Dolphins.
Really like Miami here. It is close to a pick 'em or Miami plus 1. Miami's at home on a holiday weekend. Cincinnati's coming to town. I don't think Cincinnati's that well coached. I think Miami is not great, but well coached. After that disastrous start, Brian Flores comes in, new team. He's trying to figure out his personnel. You know, last 7 games, they're 3-4. Last 7 games, they're 3-4. And by the way, in their last 10, they're 7-3 against the spread. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, who can move a little, if you go look at him since week 9, he's got twice as many touchdown passes as interceptions. He's completing about 63% of his throws. Now, he's a great transition quarterback. He's not a franchise guy, but you can use him this year. He's a gamer. He's tough. He can move. Went to Harvard. I think Miami wins this game. I think it's one of the rare times that I love what is considered a bad football team. I'm going to take the Dolphins to win that thing. What did I pick the score at? 24-20. There we go. Sorry. Piece of paper in the way.
Steelers at Jets.
I like the Jets plus 3. Listen, Sam Darnold ghost comments against New England. Oh, my God, sell your stock. Sam Darnold's actually, even in losses, playing very, very well since week 9. Sam Darnold, 62% completion percentage, 12 TDs, 4 picks, 95 passer rating, 2 rushing touchdowns. That's with the worst offensive line in football, in my opinion. It's got to be one of the bottom two. He's not the issue. Devlin Hodges for the Steelers. I love their front 7. But, folks, in the 4 games he's played this year, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns. They give you 1 offensive touchdown a week. That's just what Pittsburgh gives you with Devlin Hodges. The Jets have shown at home, remember the Dallas game, they've had games at home where they're pretty impressive, they're fairly healthy, and I think Pittsburgh's been exposed as a totally limited offense. I'm going to take the Jets to win it outright 26-23.
Cowboys at Eagles.
Dallas minus 2. I'm going to take him here to number. If it was 3.5, I'd probably stay away. Okay, listen. Carson Wentz is having a much better year than everybody says. But here's the thing about Philadelphia. They can't beat you over the top. That you can't do it. Last couple of weeks against average teams, their defense can't take the ball away. This is what worries me. If you just let Dak do his little comeback patterns and Zeke run the ball, Dallas could dominate time of possession. Last couple of weeks, Philadelphia defensively has been awful. Dallas is 5-0 this year when they rush for over 172 yards, and Zeke has owned the Philadelphia Eagles defensive front. I love Fletcher Cox, but he hasn't had a great year by Fletcher Cox standards. The Cowboys offensive line is healthy. This comes down to me. The Dallas staff gets fired if they don't win. There is unbelievable urgency. I think Dak's injury actually forces Dallas to not get cute and run the football. I think Dallas wins by a touchdown here.
Chiefs at Bears.
I'll easily swallow the points here. I'm going to take Kansas City minus 6. What's Chicago playing for? Kansas City has sneakily become the second hottest team in the league after Baltimore. Last 4 games, 4-0, 4-0 against the spread. Their defense, too. We talk about offense. Since the bye week, their defense has been really good. Their defense is number one in points per game allowed, fifth in yards allowed. Here's the thing about the Bears. The Bears can win games, but in their last 10 games, they're 2-8 against the spread. I mean, when they do win, it's ugly. The game has to be played a certain way for Chicago to win, and I don't think right now Kansas City, I don't think you can marginalize them. I think Andy Reid privately is like, we got healthy at the right time. We got hot at the right time. I mean, this is a team that went into New England and won a football game, and I didn't think Kansas City played flawless football. I thought situationally, they weren't great in New England. I thought they were kind of choppy. Now they go into a Chicago team that's not as good, not playing for a ton. I like Kansas City to win and cover 30-21. So there's my Blazing Five picks, all the odds provided by Fox Bet. I'll take the favored Ravens. I'll take the favored Cowboys and the favored Chiefs, and I'll take the underdog Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. All right, let's bring in pregame.com's RJ Bell, host straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern, his Twitter account at RJ in Vegas. All right, let's start with this one. You know me, I don't like double-digit favorites, but I do believe, RJ, that you get these teams, the 2015 Carolina Panthers, the Seahawks, the year they won the Super Bowl, they get hot, they're healthy, and the league's trying to play catch-up with their energy. Ravens minus 10 at the Browns. I even get a little revenge on Baltimore's side. I just think Baltimore, this is a strange and unique every five-year situation. Browns don't have much to play for. I'm going to lay the 10 here with Baltimore. What would the wise guys think?
Surprisingly, agreement here. And here's the thing. When there's a big favorite and the motivation is obvious, there's no problem with favorites.
Oh, okay.
In fact, in the suit or in the playoffs, favorites do really well, especially big ones. So what ends up happening is, can you figure out, is a team motivated? And I think Baltimore, off of that loss, an embarrassment in division. Oh, man, Harbaugh loves to make statements. I think this could be a total annihilation. I only got one question. How in the heck did the Browns do what they did the first game?
Well, it's interesting because at the time we thought the Browns were pretty good and Baltimore was only 2-1. So it was not a shock to our system. We thought, ooh, Baker had a good day. They did it by dominating. Nick Chubb had a huge day, and they took time of possession away from Baltimore, and Lamar had to play from behind, had two picks. So it's funny. We look at it now and we're shocked, but if you go back to that week, RJ, we didn't know Baltimore was Baltimore. They haven't lost since then. In fact, the Orioles have a more recent loss than the Ravens. But Cleveland was the team we thought that was pretty interesting then and pretty talented.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but in hindsight, the offense was what it is now, and the Browns stopped it. And even though the defense has improved greatly since the trade and with Smith back at cornerback, I agree. Listen, you got agreement. It's just really confusing to me how the one time this entire year Baltimore was dominated, it was against the Browns.
Should be noted, Myles Garrett would be a really nice piece to have for Cleveland this weekend, their most athletic defensive end. He's obviously still out for the seasons. Bengals at the Dolphins. I'm going to take Miami. It's essentially a pick 'em. Not all bad teams are the same. I think the Dolphins have a plan, draft picks. They're developing players. They obviously have to rebuild their defense. But I think Brian Flores, I think this team has some momentum. I think they like their coach. They're at home. And again, not all bad teams are even. I like the Dolphins, actually. They are a tough out. I'll take them here. What would the wise guys say?
Love it. Love it. One of my favorite picks of the week. And at first glance, I didn't really understand this line because even though Miami doesn't have a great home field, let's call it two even. Well, are we saying the Bengals are clearly better? It doesn't make any sense. I think that's the value you're seeing. Here's what I figured out. A lot of people remember Miami just getting annihilated early, and they got annihilated last week. And a lot of these really decent performances along the way, they didn't win the games. So if you bet, maybe you were a little more aware of it if you bet that game. Otherwise, the Dolphins are just one of the worst teams. You mentioned something. I don't think Miami is at all worried about the second pick or the third pick. I think that the momentum they have is something they value greatly with a young coach. It's getting a lot of accolades. Last thing, Cincy, probably the worst coach team in the league, down in Miami, holiday weekend. Distractions. Love, love, love Miami.
Steelers at the Jets, I'll take New York plus +3. First of all, the Jets at home have generally, outside of the Patriot game, been pretty feisty. With Duck Hodges, Pittsburgh is a completely limited offense. They may win this game, but it's just a number here. Sam Darnold, despite losing big to Baltimore, has not been the problem. He gives you about one, oh my God, throw a week. But Darnold, with a really bad O-line, has been very effective. Again, the optics with the Jets are worse than reality. They're not a terrible team. They've had a couple of games, Baltimore and New England, where they're simply outclassed. I'm going to take the points with the Jets at home. What do the wise guys think?
Going to give you a slight agreement. I am not near as optimistic about Darnold, about the Jets, as you are. I don't make the excuses you do about, there's no doubt Darnold has potential. Yeah. What I wonder is, and let me ask you, what quarterback has been this average in his second year at the end and became an elite quarterback?
Well, I mean, it's very fair questions. I think he has the worst offensive line in the league, and the question becomes, can he overcome the Jets' dysfunction? I've said this about Baker from day one. I don't think Baker's talented enough to overcome dysfunction. I don't think Sam Darnold has ever been a natural thrower or as gifted athletically as Wentz or Lamar Jackson. But I think he's good, and I think the Jets now have a legitimate general manager. So I do think quarterbacks get better. I thought Russell Wilson in year three popped. To now he's an MVP-level quarterback. So I do think it's a slow progression. And that was with Pete Carroll, by the way. That was with John Snyder. So I think the questions about Darnold are fair, but I just think athletically he's the kind of quarterback I want for the next 12 years, which is can make the throws, take the hits, and make plays with his feet.
And if you're right, even a little bit this week, you got to like the Jets, because if you look at Pittsburgh now, let's go back 7 games. They've only scored more than one offensive touchdown one time.
Yes.
I mean, so this is a team.
And they haven't played a bunch of great defenses in that period.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, you know, obviously they played the Ravens really well.
Yes.
You know, Buffalo, you could say they played decently, though they lost a game they should, you know, they were favored in. So to me, they got lucky with some close wins, and they got lucky with some turnovers. And you can say, oh, that's the way good defenses do. But really, there's not a great correlation between a bunch of turnovers and a great defense. So I'm going to agree with you because I think Pittsburgh is overrated. Agreement, Jets.
I don't take the Cowboys much. I really don't in the Blazing Five. I think they're an overbet team. I do like them as long as the number is under 3, Cowboys minus 2.5. Carson Wentz has had a better year than people think. But I think the Cowboys staff, the job is on the line. I think the weather plays to them. It's not ugly Philadelphia weather. It's mid-40s. I think Philadelphia's got major issues on the outside. They've got no receivers healthy. And I just struggle to think that Dallas, arguably after Baltimore, the healthiest team in the NFL, who kind of found their way last week running the ball, I think they win by about a field goal or more. What do the wise guys think?
Big disagreement here, big one. Now, let's do a little simple math. So last week, you may recall, you had your biggest disagreement of the decade when you had the Rams, right?
Yes, I got smoked.
So the Rams were 4.5 points better than Dallas. That was the perception because it was in Dallas, 3 points for home field, and the Rams were 1.5. Okay. Now, in this game, let's just call 2.5 is the line. So that means Dallas is 5.5 points better. So this is amazing. So Dallas is 5.5 points better than the Eagles, but the Rams are 4.5 points better than them. So that means the Rams are 10 points better than the Eagles. Does that sound right?
No.
No. What's happened is Dallas was way underrated last week, but I think it swung too far the other way. I mean, if this game were in Dallas, Colin, the line would be 8.5. I mean, does that seem like, oh, that's too cheap? Dallas only by 8.5? And the road favorites are tricky like that. Now, listen, Dallas has played well in Philly. Last thing I'll say is this. If it's a tight game in the fourth, wouldn't you agree the Eagles are maybe the best team over the last three seasons? You start back playoffs against the Falcons, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. Last year, remember, they went to the Rams as 10-point underdogs, won that game in a must-win. This is probably the best team at close games we've seen over the last couple years, and Dallas is going to know that Jerry Jones is staring down on him. So to me, a lot of my liking Philly here is I don't trust Dallas in a tight game for all the marbles, and I certainly do trust the Eagles.
Yeah, no, Philly, I'm a huge Carson Wentz fan, so if it's close, despite his lack of weapons, that's a good point. 3-1 agreement. Finally, we know Baltimore is hot. I think the Chiefs, in the last 3 weeks, that defense has gotten better. Only have to give up 5 at the Bears. Not sure what Chicago plays for. Kansas City is sneaky hot right now. And the defense has gotten better. The secondary's gotten better. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. I like the number, -5, -6, wherever you get it. What do the wise guys think?
I'm going to agree with you just because it's going to allow me to bring up how right I was about Kansas City.
Yes, you were on them about, was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. And to me, I think the defensive side, you said it, that's the key here, is if you look at it, and I think I heard this on your show, actually, and I loved it, since the bye, Kansas City has had the best defense on a points-per-game basis. So since their own bye, that was the case. Now, even if they're the 10th best defense, let's just say, with that offense, this is probably the second favorite behind Baltimore. And I don't know if the defense is really that good, but man, the stats say they are right now, though a small sample size. You flip on the other side, the Bears. I mean, I'm guessing you saw Trubisky actually critiquing Nagy. I mean, to me, if there's any sense of like, oh my gosh, this is an example of the team struggling to find answers, I can't imagine that locker room, knowing Trubisky's making that first round money and has been carried by the team and now is critiquing the coach. I think that's a bad sign. Another reason I agree with you on KC.
Finally, our bonus pick we do on Saturdays. I'm going to stay away from this game on my Blazing 5 because I just chose to stay away because Dalvin Cook, if he's healthy, I think Minnesota's the much better roster with a much better coach. I have questions about Matt LaFleur. Green Bay does not, in the second half, adjust. They're one of the worst third quarter offenses at adjusting in the league. But without Dalvin Cook, if the number's 5 to 5.5, I'd probably go Green Bay. What would the wise guys say?
Disagreement here, though I personally think this number's getting out of hand. And this is such a good example, Colin, where it was so much easier 10, 15 years ago to beat Vegas. Because the line on this game 15 years ago would have been 3. And I would have loved Minnesota because it would have been like, well, Green Bay's got such the better record or, you know, clearly the better record. Minnesota's at home. Make it 3.
So why has it changed in Vegas?
Because they don't care if the squares bet on Green Bay. They'll take all kind of, as long as they're confident they're on the right side. And remember, when you bet 10 to win 11, which bookies do, you only got to be right 48% of the time to make a bunch of money.
Right.
So they're very confident that Minnesota's better. And because of that, they're putting a line out there that is going to have, in no negativity here, but is going to have every square in town saying, I get Aaron Rodgers and all those points against, oh my gosh, you know that Cousins isn't good in prime time. right?
Yeah.
The fact this number is what it is, and you always talk about these games. You say, oh, this number doesn't make sense, which is a sign that Vegas wants you to bet Green Bay, right? So looking at this, wouldn't you agree the average Joe in the bar is taking Green Bay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Aaron Rodgers plus 5.5. It's a guaranteed winner.
And exactly. And think about it. Why would Vegas give them such a juicy bet unless they wanted them to make that bet?
Yeah, no, they're begging you to bet the Packers.
And you did it.
Yeah. Well, I almost did it. RJ Bell, who's nice enough to come on. You've been battling influenza this week.
You know, a little. Let's just say it's been a tough week. But this is one of my favorite things to do each week. And I'm here no matter what.
By the way, I'll just throw you a little bone. Clemson is my biggest bet ever in college. I like Clemson over Ohio State.
Ooh.
I know you hate that, but I'll just throw this out. Clemson has played SEC speed 5 times in the last 2 years with 4 blowout wins. Ohio State has played Big Ten speed. Now they've got to shift gears, and a defense the Buckeyes over the last month has not been as formidable, the Buckeyes defense. I think it's a wild, high-scoring affair, and I'm swallowing the -2 with Clemson. Your initial reaction?
I think you're on the sharp side. And the reason I say that is, let's use the same logic, Colin, that we would about who's the public going to like here.
Ohio State.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. They're going to say, I mean, one, Ohio State had the best ATS margin in all of college football, meaning they covered the spread by the most points in aggregate over the course of the year. So that means a lot of Ohio State bettors won a lot of money. Right. Mm-hmm. Number two, what happened is that they were dominant and not only covered, but it looked like they weren't even games. Right. Michigan didn't even look like they were competitive. Now they're getting points against a Clemson team. What do most people remember about them? North Carolina. That's what they remember.
Yep.
I think the case could be made Clemson has had one of the best, if not the best season ever, of a defending champion. In fact, if you actually look at their games, except for North Carolina, if you would give them an extra field goal, just 3 points in 2 different games, they would have covered every game this year, except North Carolina.
And that's hard to do. I remember Pete Carroll's Trojans had a lot of ugly Saturday wins because of apathy and dominance. Clemson, it doesn't matter. They're that much better than everybody on that side.
And last thing about Clemson as a program. All of these successes, Dabo Sweeney head-to-head against Saban, it's been with not great recruiting classes. And I know you're kind of an aficionado of this.
Yes.
Clemson, first time ever they had a top 5 class. They had the number 1 class in some accounting. So think about that. They were able to beat and go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country, including Alabama and Saban, when they were recruiting 12, 15, that range. Now they're number 1. Look out.
Yeah. RJ Bell. Buddy, it's great talking to you. Have a great holiday season.
Hey, you too, Colin. I appreciate it.
All right.